got a snakeskin jacket with a chain on my chest. Got the tat, brown leather with the bulletproof vest. Got the backdoor hustle with a card on my sleeve. If you're looking for a crime, then you're looking for me. So come on. Your tongue with the slip screen vision in my hand on my gun. There's a conflagration wherever I come. If you see smoke rise, it's all that I've begun. Hey, hey, come, come on. Get me, I'll be gone, gone. You're falling back and you trail behind. Kids, what you cannot find. Toss a bag on a drop at the end on Rhino, looking out for the cops. Got the black bag waiting, pick it up at the well. Hit the asphalt running like a bat out of hell. I got 43 hand dogs on my trail. I be a ghost by sunset, safe on the rail. It's a prime time play and you better believe it's a damn fine day in the life of the thief. Cannot find what you cannot find, what you cannot find.
Thanks for keeping it on your freeform station. We hope you're enjoying the music. 91.5 WMFO Medford and worldwide at WMFO.org.
On days you spend on heartbreak, you cry and thinking the light from the window. You're right on your feet, but you're still looking. You are listening to Even the Birds. It is 9:07 and I don't have my music queued up yet. But I have a friend here with me if you'd like to say hi. Hey. Nice. Okay, there we go. I have everything. No, still, I don't have everything set up. Okay, do you want to talk a bit, Jamie, as I work to take care of this? Huh? Yeah, your mic's on. Yeah. Yeah, if you can't hear yourself talk, fix the volume. Just try to put your mouth up nice and close. Oh? Still not working? Oh, okay. Well, you can hop to a different mic. Let's see. I have two songs ready for you tonight, so we'll just have to figure out things as we go.
You can try putting on different headphones.
Yeah, so I'm going to hook up my phone to get these tunes going so I don't just keep on talking randomly for the rest of the time and we can figure out this microphone issue we're having. Okay, and where's my playlist? Okay, we got some chill music in store for the night and some more snake facts. so stay tuned and enjoy this song by Coldplay. Or don't enjoy it because I'm not hooked up to AUX1. Oh, it's never fun coming into the studio flustered and just everything else is sort of a mess. Okay, so here we go. Coldplay, enjoy.
That's what I'll do.
And we figured out the mic issue. Let me turn it on first.
Hello?
Yeah, there we go. Hey, what's up, Jamie?
In the house.
Yeah, in the house.
Can you
raise that roof up high? Okay. Yes, so Jamie is here to share some fun
hot snake
facts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Snake Facts. So today, last week, we discussed a bit about how snakes are perceived as a lot more dangerous than the average snake that you'll encounter usually is. But now that we've gotten all that disclaimer out of the way, I figured we'd talk about something that is a little bit more, makes people a little bit more uneasy about snakes, but is super cool, which is the feeding and eating and fangs and venom.
So no cloacal popping this time.
No, I mean, I guess that's technically part of the digestive tract, maybe. But snake farts is our historic first episodes. Please go back and listen to our archives.
Please listen. It's great.
So I figured I would start with go through some of the major classes of snakes, starting from the most basal snakes, meaning the most closely, I don't want to say like developed as in they are underdeveloped compared to other snakes, but most closely related to more primitive evolutionary ancestors. So basically we'll start out with these little worms. In the
little worm boys.
Yeah, they're called Scalecophidia, or blind snakes. There's three main types. Flower pot is one of them, and there's two others.
Hey,
but
little family.
Basically, these just mostly look like earthworms. They can fit on a U.S. quarter. They're very tiny.
Wow.
Yeah, and they don't really have much external eyes to speak for because they are a fossorial or burrowing species, so they're mostly underground. And what they eat primarily is insect eggs, if they can get them. So, what is awesome about these snakes, and snakes in general, is that there is all sorts of points of articulation in the snake skull that you don't find in other vertebrate skulls. A lot of these different parts of the skulls get fused together in other vertebrates, but in snakes they remain points of articulation in order to accommodate these huge meals that they're taking in. So with these blind snakes, in order to eat the insect eggs, I'm kind of starting with a bit of an exception here, but I'm just very excited to talk about it, because most snakes will sort of kind of fit their head around the food and just very slowly push it into their mouth. But these blind snakes can't afford to do that because they don't have much of a defense system. They're basically blunt little wormies. And so like if the insects actually come and try to defend their eggs, they will probably be killed by insects, by ants, for instance. So they have to eat these eggs real fast. And so they can't do this like kind of like fitting their mouth around very slowly and pushing it in. So what they have is their mandibles, which have a separate bone called the dentary towards the anterior or front end. And again, this is usually fused in most vertebrates. Oh, snake fact, James. But with these blind snakes, they are actually articulated to the point that they're almost like insect mandibles. So this is the bottom jaw, and they can turn inward like hinged doors. This is like the bottom jaw coming inward like this.
Ooh.
And they pull in the egg. Actively pull the egg in rather than just fit their mouth around it. And so they slurp up these eggs really fast. If my sources are to believe, at 3 eggs per second. That seems really fast, though.
That's a little, like, scarily fast.
Yeah. So they chow down as quick as possible and then get out of there before insect defenders come by. But yeah, that's the cool thing about Scolecophidia jaws. But again, these are oddball snakes. These are not part of the what are considered the true family of snakes. These are called, I don't have all the scientific names off the top of my head. These are called the Athenophidia, is what is considered the true snake. But the Scolecophidia is still in the family of Serpentes, or Ophidians, which is what snakes are considered to be.
Cool stuff.
So that's how these little guys eat. Carry on?
I don't eat food like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I can't eat food like that. I could, like, in speed, maybe, but...
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you also had a detached dentary that could slurp down eggs at an alarmingly quick rate.
Actually, I don't like that. I take back what I said.
Oh, to have a little call out to one of our listeners we know is listening now.
Yes.
It'd be rather like the moment in the show Produce 101 where those boys are trying to make it a meringue, and in order to do so, some of them think that they need to use all the eggs on the table and are desperately slurping up the eggs to try and get rid of some of them so that the others can be whipped into a meringue. So it might look something like that.
Thank you, Jamie. That was great.
It was my pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed these snake facts.
Okay, thank you. Oh, we have at least 11 listeners, maybe more if they're listening on the radio.
Oh, sorry about the mishap then.
And we still have them. I don't know if we lost any in this process, but I hope you guys bear with us. And yeah, enjoy the rest of our show. We're going to have a bit more music, and then we'll see what happens after. So enjoy.
Tell when it's so good, yeah. strong, and I know now, girl, that I can stand alone. I was put here on this earth by myself, yeah. Whoa, I gotta keep moving on, 'cause it seems like now, whoa, baby, things are changing now, and I can't tell where and tell when it's so good,
You just heard Fingerprints by Hiatus Coyote. Before that was Things Are Changing, the live solo acoustic version by Gary Clark Jr. And I probably already introduced the other song we first played, but if I didn't, it was Sparks by Coldplay. And I need to find more songs to play because, once again, I am not ready.
That means we have another episode of Snake Facts.
Snake Facts.
For your listening pleasure. We will move on now from the Scolecophidians, which we started with perhaps being... should have started with a more typical snake, but I was excited to get into that one. So moving along to the Elephinophidians, which some people call the true snakes, and we'll look a little bit more what you consider a snake to look like. And the more evolutionary basic ones would be the boas and the pythons. And one way you can tell that these are more evolutionary basic is that a lot of them have conserved their pelvic girdle, so you have a little bit of little remnants of the pelvis, and you also have two spurs, which people say are remnants of the leg bones, but I mean, they're just like, they're literally spurs. They're just little points. I wouldn't consider those legs, but basically, these snakes have sort of the full range of teeth that you can have on a snake, which is actually six rows of teeth.
Whoa, that's a lot of rows of teeth.
Yep, so snakes, because they are mouths at the end of a tube, need a good way to grip onto prey without using any limbs to help them. And so a huge part of that is their teeth and the gape of their mouth. So with pythons, these six rows, there's, again, these parts of the jaw that are flexible and separated in snakes that you would usually see fused in a human skull. And in the snakes, these would be the pterygoid, the ectopterygoid, the dentary at the bottom of the mandibles, which we previously discussed. And these three parts are usually what creates the six rows of teeth, two rows per left and right. And with pythons, they use strangulation for their prey. And this is one of three main mechanisms for snake ingestion of prey. One of them being strangling the prey or suffocating, one of them being envenomation, and one just chasing down and gulping it straight down. So for pythons, all these teeth, are pointing backwards to help aid in swallowing the prey so that it is going in one direction, which is what you desire. And what allows these snakes to swallow such huge prey is a number of things. Most importantly, the mandibles, not just of pythons, but of all snakes, do not have the connection in the middle like a human skull would at the chin. These are remain separate so that when they can engulf the prey, they can point out and allow for a much bigger space in the mouth. The equivalent for a human would be the jaw dropping to about the shoulders and the skin stretching around the rest of the food.
Take it back, Jamie.
So they have these flexible mandibles and attaching the mandibles to the skull. So basically what you want to think of is the brain case, the part around the brain is as the stationary. And then around that, almost all the other parts of the skulls have some degree of articulation, and some more than others in different species. But one of the major ones is a bone called the quadrate bone, which you can find in between the top of the skull and then the mandibles. In humans, the quadrate bone takes the form of the bones in the middle ear. But in snakes, this is a key bone to help for the flexion and hinging of the jaw. in order to just get a real wide gape around their prey. And they first get a good bite, so they have a good grip on that prey, and then the coils come around and they hold that coil until the prey usually passes out from lack of oxygen, or sometimes is crushed, but most likely passes out from lack of oxygen. And then the snake can begin to slowly wrap its mouth around the prey. And as long as these teeth pointing backwards are still pointing backwards, then all they have to do is just inch forward bit by bit, and the prey will eventually get down all the way. And then they use their skeletal muscles to kind of wiggle it down the rest of the way. And it goes, just like any other vertebrate, down the esophagus and into the stomach. And as you might imagine, the stomach is very extended throughout the body of the snake, but it is not the entire body, because you need the intestines to absorb the nutrients from the food. So because a stomach has to increase its pH dramatically, it also, like many vertebrate stomachs, seals off with the pyloric valve, and prey, even that is almost the length of the snake, will stay above the stomach and sometimes even like peek out in the esophagus for quite a bit. And it will just have to start the digestion in the stomach before the pyloric valve can be released and it can enter into the intestines. So once it's down there, you have, again, just like any other, the small intestine, and then the colon, and then snakes have a cloaca instead of a rectum and an anus. And the water is absorbed primarily in the colon and also in the cloaca, and the nutrients are absorbed along the length of the intestine.
Hmm.
Yeah, so. Nom nom.
Nom nom. In a conclusion, mm-hmm. Nom nom.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yes.
Very nice.
Hope you enjoyed a session of snake facts.
Okay, time for more music. I'm very tired, so I'm not going to bother with an introduction any longer than this right now. Just listen. Enjoy, I hope.
Be careful where you look for. so hard to find. Just when you think you found it, the illusions in your eyes, it blinds us all. So be careful where you look for love. Just be careful where you look for love.
That's why I let the moon shine. Cause through the time I've been confused on how to move. Stuck in between what wasn't and what could be the truth. High,
still up trying to escape the demons in my room.
You see, it's no change dropping, we learn to maintain. Yuffin', and how could anybody else for pain when they brainwash us and watch us every time we make exchanges?
We're slaves.
Locked in a box and use our minds just to escape all the same. I'm tired of the pain, love is blind to the flame. That's why I look up, never hide behind the skies in the rain. Promises cooked up, exercising through denying the pain. That's why I look for ways to find whatever lies in the rain. Shit changed. I don't blame my father for lamping. I believe that helped. With me trying to grow is just still trying to grow as myself. So understand it when I'm stranded, taking chances. Know I need that fool. Fell on my back, just relax and keep your seat back. Cause when you think, that's when you let time run and escape. But your mind loving, that's what you think. So what you think? If love was easy to find, we wouldn't need it to complete our lives. So
peace to the moon, peace to the stars, peace to Saturn.
Oh,
Not that we went anywhere in the first place.
I don't know that.
Oh, true. We went somewhere.
It was great.
It was super awesome.
Got ice cream.
Lots of ice cream. Oh. And bubble tea.
Wait, isn't that... Aren't we not supposed to bring that into the studio?
That's why we left it outside.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. So we're not confessing to a crime on the air.
Yes. But is that crime even really real or not? What is reality, Jamie?
Well, reality might be a sign on the window saying, want to keep having nice things, no food or drink anywhere in Studio A.
I was going to say it's just a bunch of neurological, you know, it's just a bunch of neurons firing off that makes up everything.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we are a bit tired tonight, so we apologize for our decreased speed and wit.
And quality.
And quality, especially quality. Hopefully next week will be a bit better, but we will try to do as much as we can tonight with the rest of our show, I guess. Well, more like my show, because you're just the guest here.
All of a sudden, I'm always ready for another episode of Snake Facts. So, we have just recently heard about Scolecophidia, and now we heard about some boas and some pythons, and how they eat, and what their teeth look like. So, now we're going to go one more step up the evolutionary ladder, and look at the Culebridea, sorry.
Chupacabra?
No. and some of the main players in this, I think it's a subfamily, that we know most well are the colubrids, the viperids, and the elapids. The colubrids, because they make up like 2/3 of the world's snake species. And the viperids and the elapids, because they're very exciting and they're venomous. And so that's what we tend to hear on the news and in popular culture with these snakes. So what we see most often in movies and media is often the viperids, because they're very exciting. They have enormous fangs, and they're so big that they need to be folded back within the jaw when the snake has its mouth closed. And when it's ready to strike its prey, it can flex the bones up in its nose in movement called rhinokinesis, which I think is kind of cute. It just means that they can move their nose and the bones in their nose. And this causes the fangs attached to the front end of the maxilla to flex outwards. And they basically spear their prey with their super elongated fangs, and with their very efficient venom delivery mechanism, will either just bite and retreat back and follow their prey, especially if it's a large mammal who is likely put up a fight if you just try to take it down immediately. So that's the purpose of envenomation, is to weaken the prey and avoid injury to the snake. Very little, very seldom are snakes actually after you, trying to envenomate you, if that's a verb.
It is now.
Mostly they're just trying to eat, and they're trying not to get hurt in the process of eating. And that's why they have these amazing evolutionary traits that they've acquired over the years, over the millennia. So vipers, back to vipers, the venom delivery mechanism, I talked a little bit about this last week, is this large venom gland and a kind of additional gland near the front. And basically this large gland is attached to skeletal muscle, which can squeeze the gland and cause rapid release of the venom. Not only that, but there are also extracellular stores of venom within the viperids, the elapids, you don't see this as much. The colubrids, you don't see this at all. We'll talk about that later. And you basically, it's like a turkey baster. You just squeeze it. It shoots out, and the fangs are hypodermic in these species usually, and so it just goes straight into the prey as soon as they bite them. Or, in some cases, in some elapids, you can spit the venom out, such as spitting cobras. And these cobras, the fangs, the openings in the fangs are slightly more circular, so they can be aimed forward rather than back. And they can aim with incredible accuracy for quite a range. And they try to aim for either at a predator, mostly at a predator, I think, for the spitting, actually. Aim at the eyes, that will very much discourage them from trying to pursue the snake if you get venom spat into your eyes.
Hmm.
So you have these amazing fangs in the viperids. In the elapids, you don't see that flexion, so they're not quite as large. So cobras, actually, you'll see in some art depicted with enormous fangs.
I like it.
To get it back.
Their fangs aren't that big compared to vipers. They have pretty modest-sized fangs because they can't fold back into the mouth, so the snakes need to be able to close their mouths. But that still doesn't mean that their venom is any less deadly. You'll get some of our most venomous snakes in the elapid family, and this will include cobras and mambas. Generally speaking, vipers are the really thick-bodied snake, like rattlesnakes, and that's the one I can think of right now. And elapids are a little bit, think of them as just like, you know, speedy, skinny boys, zip around. Yeah, so those are the elapids.
Mm.
And the colubrids, there's a huge diversity among colubrids. It's not never quite the same. I should specify that the morphs of teeth that you can have are aglyphous, where you don't have any grooved or hollowed teeth, so no fangs, sort of to speak of. It's more just teeth. You have osteoglyphous. This is a rear fang snake. It's often common in colubrids. I'm getting that later. You have selenoglyphs. These are the ones that can flex their teeth forward. Those are the vipers, the most exciting ones. And then you have the proteoglyphs, and these are the elapids, where they have those hypodermic fangs up near the front, but they can't flex them out like vipers. So the colubrids, back to the colubrids, because there's such a wide diversity of them. So the highlight snake, of course, is the hognose snake.
The hognose! The snoot noot! Yeah. The sassy noodle.
Yeah, he's a little cutie. And yes, in case listeners don't know, I do plan on getting a hognose at some point. But these particular colubrids are rear fanged osteoglyphs, and the venom in these snakes, there's still quite a bit of a debate whether you can call that venom, because they do not have the same venom glands that you would get in the viperids or the elapids, where you have these big glands attached to skeletal muscles that can squirt out an extracellular reserve. What you have with these glands, they're just located right behind the eyes. They're quite small in comparison. There's no skeletal muscle attached, no extracellular stores of venom, so it just kind of secretes out as the snake is slowly chewing on its prey. So it's just a slow drool down down the grooved teeth that they have in the back. And this helps to stun amphibians. Doesn't really have any effect on mammals, especially large mammals like humans. And it also starts the digestive process. It is theorized that the aid of venom in digestion is what started the evolution of venom.
Ooh.
And then it acquired more properties that allowed things like stunning prey or thinning blood so that venom could travel faster throughout the body. But anyway, Those are hog noses. They're rear fang. They're very cute. They have very cute noses.
I love their faces so much.
Yes, we were just discussing how they look like they ran into a wall and are very angry at the fact that they ran into a wall.
Oh, snakes with weird faces are bae.
Oh,
so cute.
But back to the teeth lessons, you also have the aglyphus, which are not toothless, but fangless. So they have teeth, but they're not grooved or hollow, for the aid in delivery